Okay, Tazria and Mitzora this week in Israel, in America, it's Shemini, so if you're in America listening, listen to last week. Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because you notice the last, because we had Shemini, we don't have Shemini Shel Pesach, so we read Shemini on Shabbat, okay, but in America, they had Shemini Shel Pesach, so they're behind a week. They'll catch up in Bahar B'chukotai, but they do a double parsha and we don't.
And that's why my sons only have Bahar here.
Ah, right, lucky. Yeah. Okay.
Which
right.
They're splitting.
They're splitting Bahar? Oh, man. Okay, lucky them. Anyway, okay. So, problem with Tazria Mitzora is the central focus of Tazria Mitzora is Tzara'at. That's a, you know, it starts with the different kinds of Tzara'at. Right, you know, the different kinds of tzara'at as we've discussed in years past, different kinds of blemishes, and then goes into mitzora, zotia tarata mitzora, right, and the kapara for tzara'at. And the thing that people struggle with tzara'at is, first of all, we don't know what it is, second of all, it's so esoteric, so theoretical, in another word, what's the word I'm looking for?
Esoteric.
Say it.
Esoteric.
Boring. Okay, you didn't have the guts to say it. All right. Anyway, but it's not as it happens that people are not aware that Tazria and Mitzora are actually probably the most relevant parshiot halachically to us today. We deal with it on an ongoing, day-to-day basis. You say, "What in the world are you talking about?" No, well, yeah, that's true. But I'm not going to talk about Lashon Hara. I'm actually going to talk about the details of Midoraita, the Midoraita laws of Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. Okay, because the halacha of Tzara'at in Tazria Mitzora, let's just treat it as one parsha. They are bookended by very, very, I would say, intricate and somewhat difficult to comprehend detailed laws of Dam, blood. Okay, and I thought it would be just a good opportunity, because so, it affects all of us, you more than me mostly, okay? And it's also somewhat difficult to comprehend, so we'll get through the nuts and bolts of the Torah law. We're going to see the chinuch, for those of you who have this, okay? We're going to see the chinuch on it, because he actually gives a beautiful explanation. It's just a very clear explanation of Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. This might be a little bit of a review for, but you know, if you, I don't know if you did this in your Kala classes, but it's really a good review. And also the relevance of the beginning of the Parshiyot of what's called Dam Yoledet. We're going to see that these three types of Dam, of blood, appear in this Parsha. And we just, what are they? What are they doing? How are we supposed to understand them? And since it's, what's so interesting is it's so relevant to us, and this information is just kind of glossed over and missed, not really understood very well, as we will soon see. So we'll start at the very beginning, and then we'll skip to the end, and then we'll go right to the chinuch, and then if we have time at the end, it's going to be a little bit of a shorter shiur today, if we have time at the end, we'll try to begin to understand some of the underpinnings, the machshava underpinnings of these mitzvot. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'emor. God said to Moshe, I'm at the very beginning of Tazria. Daber el b'nei Yisrael le'emor. Isha ki tazria v'yalda zachar v'tam'a shivat yamim kimei nidat devota titma. As we always do, we get stuck on the words, which is good. Okay, speak to the children of Israel and say, a woman ki tazria, ki when tazria.
What?
We know what it means. We know what it means in context. What does it mean?
Seeded.
Ki tazria. What?
Seeded.
Ki, when she shall be of seed. Okay? Mm-hmm. Right? She shall be seeded. V'yalda zachar, and she gives birth to a male child. Then she will be v'tamashivat yamim. She will be defiled for 7 days. Ki me nidat devota titma. I have no idea how to translate this. And the Farshim have struggles. Like the days of Nida. What does the word Nida mean? We know what it is, but what does it mean? The word.
Translated as impurity.
Impurity. Okay.
I didn't
want
to say
what? Why not? Okay, by the way, we're not hiding from things here.
It's not a good translation.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not sugarcoating. This is where we're going to talk about.
It's not nid, like not like when you wander. Is that one word or two words?
The nadnid is to wander.
Is that two words? One word.
That's one word. The nanet is to wander. There's another word that's very close to it. What? There's another. Linadot means.
Not
to exile.
From the word. From the word. From the word nadot means from the word nidui. What is nidui? Yeah. What is someone nidui?
Excommunicated.
Correct. These are all very similar words. Nidui, lenabne, nida. Okay, navanad tia ba'aretz. Who's that?
That's what you meant.
Navanad, kain was navanad. You will be wandering. All of it refers to or it alludes to a sense of separation, a sense of exile, a sense of distance. Devota. Nah, I don't like nida. We got devota. Okay, you look at the who you. By the way, just as we're here today, which mafarshim you want to look at to understand this? If you want to know what the words mean, unkulis. But
Rashi.
Okay, unkulis is going to give you Aramaic. Is that going to help you?
Rashi.
No. Just Rashi's not going to give you pshat. Who do you look to if you want to understand the meaning of the word?
Rashbam
is one, and there's another one. Very good. Rashbam and
Ebenezer.
Very good. Those are the two pashtanim who you'll find in your classic Mikraot Gedolot, who are going to try to just understand the simple of the words. Rashbam, for example, says here, Kimei nidat devota, kimei richuk chulia.
Right.
Okay, richuk, distant of her chulia. Holy? Sickness, illness. Look at, so skip to the next line. Nida, lashon, niduda, umirucheket mibala. Niduda, estranged, wandering, devota, lashon,
Choli.
Meaning?
Sickness.
So nidat devota together is the distance of her sickness, of her illness. Okay? Titma, she will be impure. Okay, that's it. I'm getting frowns. It is what it is. Ubayom hashmini.
Okay, the Israelis wish after you have a baby, they say, look, Hashemah.
After you have a baby.
This time I heard it, I thought, everything okay?
No, you have. First of all, I mean, don't get me wrong, but a woman who gives birth, is a chola sheyesh bo sakana. There's a reason why we're mechal al Shabbos for a woman who's in labor. She's a chola. She's considered endangered. So, but this is not referring to the birth itself. It's referring to the bleeding afterwards. Okay. Uvayom hashmini yimol besar orlato. On the eighth day, right? This boy's to have a bris. Good. Ushloshim yom ushloshet yamim teshei b'dimei tahora. 33 days she shall sit in her blood of purity. B'chol kodesh lo tiga v'al mikdash lo tavo ad melot yamei tahora. But she cannot touch things that are kodesh, like korbanot. She can't touch truma. She can't come into the Beit HaMikdash until the end of her 33 days. V'im nekeva teleid, if she has a girl. V'tama shivu'ayim kinidata. Then her nidut is 2 weeks, not 7 days, 14 days. V'shishim yom v'shesh jamim teshev al demei tahora. Okay, and then her dam tahara
66.
Is 66 days.
What are the practical differences between demei tuma and demei?
Today? None, because we don't do kachim. None.
No, but here, it's just...
One second, let's just finish. One sec. And then, ubimlot yamei tahara leben olavat. And when she finally finishes this process, when either the 40 days for the boy are over, or the 80 days for the girl. Remember, for the boy it's 7 plus 33, 40. For the girl it's 14 plus 66, 80. Okay, when those are over, then she brings keves ben shnato le'ola, u'men yona otor lechatat, el petach ol mo'ed el hakohen. Every woman who gives birth has to bring these, a korban ola and a korban chatat. Ve'krivo lifnei Hashem v'chiper aleha, and this Kohen brings it before God, and he atones for her. V'tahara mimkor dameha, and then she becomes purified mimekor dameha. It's very interesting language. From the, what's the mekor? The source of her blood. Zotarat hayoledet lazachar olanakeva. This is the Torah of the oledet. And I'm not going to read the next pasuk for lack of time. And there's another korban she could bring if she doesn't have so much money.
What if she has both?
Then she goes by the nekeva, obviously.
Or triplets.
Right. Triple time. I don't know. Like, for 7 years, she's waiting. Okay. Okay. So obviously, the questions you're left with, which we may or may not answer depending on time, is the question of the obvious question. There are a few questions. One we're not going to answer. I think we've dealt with before. Is what's her kapara? We've dealt with this before. Why does she need a kapara? Why does she bring a korban chatan? We might get to that a little bit. But moreover, the obvious question you're dealing with is why double for girls as opposed to for boys. Okay, and what's the whole nature of this dam tuma and dam tahara? Very good, but that's just the reason we read this is you should be aware of it and know that there's this kind of blood that the Torah begins with. Mitzora ends. Let's now skip to the very end of Mitzora. Perek Tetvav, Pasuk Yud Tet. chapter 15, Pasuk Yud Tet. Okay? You have, at the end, you have, remember we said, by the way, you should just know that in Tazria and Metzora, the topic of Lashon Hara never comes up. It doesn't appear at all. So even though that's all the parsha sheets you're going to get, and everything you're going to write in Lashon Hara, it doesn't appear once. Right? The reasons for Tzara'at. The reason for Tzara'at is alluded to where? Where do we know that Tzara'at is connected to Lashon Hara? Miriam. Right. So Zachoriah Tasher Asa Hashem and Miriam. That's the connection. It never appears in this week's parsha.
And she was exiled.
She was, sure, she became a Tzara'at. And she had to go out of the camp, wait till she became purified, like everybody else. Okay? So you have this whole interlude. Now, we started the introduction. You have this long interlude of different kinds of Tzara'at. Blemishes, spots, bald spots, boils, etc., etc. Then you have the what happens to the mitzvah, the korban that he has to bring, which is actually fascinating, but really complicated and difficult. And then you even have tzara'at of clothing, tzara'at of buildings, which I think we've discussed before. We have said it before. It's always tricky. Okay, see? I'm not doing it this year. Anyway, and then after that, there's two significant sections in Perek Tet Vav called Zav and Zava. Okay? A Zav, just so you understand, we're skipping it. First it starts with men. It's not just about women. A Zav is a man that has some kind of emission. Okay? It's not a seminal emission, but it's some kind of more, a thicker emission that makes him Tamei, with a very kind of serious Tumah, which is called Tumah Gedolah, and the Torah goes into it. But I want to point out, this is not only about women. There's a Zav, and now we're going to read about a Zava. Okay, we're on Perek Tetvav Pasuk Yud Tet. The isha, okay, when and a woman ki tiya zava, if she shall be a zava, dam yihye zova bibsara. What does the word lazuv mean literally? Lazuv, the verb. Anybody know? Anyone? It means to flow.
Zvuv
is that's a good one. That's a fly. Okay, lazuv means to flow. It's a flow. It's an emission. Okay. Shivat yamim tihiye benidata. She will be in nida for 7 days. B'chol anogia ba yitma ad ha'arev. Anyone who touches her shall become tamei. It's called tumat erev. Just as a really brief crash course, there's different types of tumah. There's tumat shiva from a mate, and then there's tumat, and the only way to become tahor from tumat shiva is 7 day tumah. The big one, how do you become tamei from tumat shiva? Anybody know? Okay. Very, very brief crash course in Tumah. The most tummy thing possible is
dead
body. Okay, that's called Avi Avot HaTumah. Okay, dead body.
There's no way.
There's no way. One second. Right. Someone who touches an Avi Avot HaTumah becomes what's called an Av HaTumah. That's called Tumah Shivat Yamin. Okay, 7 day Tumah. Why do we call it 7 day Tumah? How do you get off being a Tumah Shiva? How do you get off of it? You can't do it today because. What do you need?
Para Aduma.
Right. You need to be sprinkled with the blood, with the ashes of the Para Aduma. Lower than that, if an Avatuma touches, or there are other kinds, like Anita is called, a Rishon Latuma. Rishon Latuma, you become Tameh. How do you get out of being a Rishon Latuma? Nope. You don't need a Para Aduma. What do? You go to the mikvah, correct? And then you wait till nightfall. That's a Rishon Latuma. Okay, this is what we're talking about. Someone who touches this Hanugiyah Bayitma Ad Ha'erev. When you see Ad Ha'erev, that's called Tumat Erev. But it means you have to go to the mikvah. You immerse?
Yes, Baruch, that's the mind.
The
sure.
Both times, but the Zav
right, the Zav can become, is Metaher, right, through, but it depends what kind of Zav you are. B'chol ha'she tishkav ala b'nidata yitma, am a pasukha. Anything that this person, this woman, but it's also a man, and you'll see parallels in the man too, will lie upon, in her nidut, will become tameh, b'chol ha'she teshev ala b'yitma. And everything she sits on becomes tameh. And if you touch something that she rested upon, okay, you have to wash your clothing, go to the mikvah, and you're tameh into the erev. If you touch the chair she sat on, now you can just imagine yourself, we don't do any of this today. Why don't we do any of this today? Not just that. Because we don't practice, we don't have kachim in our midst. What are kachim? Kachim are either trumot, not literally, but truma that has to remain tahar, or korbanot. So korbanot is in Yerushalayim. But let's say, for example, now you came in with the harvest. It's the time of the Beit HaMikdash, you came in with the harvest. So you're going to give some of it to the Kohen. You take off some of it, you give to the Kohen. In order for the Kohen to eat it, to consume it, to use it, it has to be Tahor. Moreover, there were many people who tried to live their lives in the practice of Taharat HaKodesh, of staying Tahor all times. So you can imagine now trying to run a household with a woman who has a regular cycle, she's going to become a Nida on a regular basis, right? What do you do with the chairs she sits on, the things that she touches? You know what I'm saying? It's not like you can imagine the dishes that she uses, the bed that she sleeps on, like all of those things, if you touch them, if you sit on them, if you whatever, like...
Which is why she was, in history, she was literally exiled from her house.
That's why it's called the Nida. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, of
the
course.
Red
what?
The Red Tent.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into the details of, like, her...
It's all
I didn't read it. I didn't read it. It's all because this, but okay.
But the concept.
Wait, where's it from, the Red Tent? By the way, where's it from? Where's this idea from that she... The source for this is...
From the Torah, where it says that Rachel and Leah had their tents.
Very good. Well, one second. Even more than that... Right? What does she say to her father when he walks in? When he comes into her? Like he comes into the tent. Remember, he's like searching?
Yeah.
He can't get up. Right? It was not unacceptable. He went into her tent, which is even more unusual that he would go into such a tent. Okay? Nonetheless, I know I'm going very fast, but whatever. Okay.
Why do we do, if we don't have kachim, why do we do the pidyon of the... Kachim, like Erev Pesach was the last day to do the
Rabbi. We do have Frasha. You absolutely have to do Hafrasha. Uh-huh. Meaning if you have, it's a little bit interesting. We do have Trumot and Masrot today. Absolutely. We have to be Mafrish Trumot and Masrot. The problem with Trumot and Masrot is you can't eat them. So what we do is we take off the bare minimum of Trumot and Masrot, and what do we do with that bare minimum?
Burn it.
We burn it. Exactly. Or we destroy it. Exactly what we do with the challah that you take off.
Right.
Right? What are you supposed to do with the challah you take off? Really?
Give
it to the Kohen. No, the Kohen's supposed to eat it. Right? But the Kohen is tameh. Exactly that point. The Kohen is tameh, so you burn it. You can't use it. Which is sad. So what you're referring to, I mean, nowadays, most of us don't do hafrashot, trumot, and masrot for a very simple reason.
It's done for us.
Right! You know, it's like everything else. Like our grandmothers remember when they had to kasher their chickens. Okay?
Sometimes you have stuff in your garden.
Unless people have stuff in their garden. I mean, I remember when I first came to Israel, like, most supermarkets didn't do hafrashot, trumot, and masrot. You know, remember this? When you came to, like, on seminary, most did not. You bought at the makolet, you bought it wherever. Most people bought their produce at the shuk. And at the shuk, you're like, you're responsible for yourself. And there's something missing, I think, that we don't do, and we never do hafrashot, trumot, and masrot. It's worthwhile to do. Nonetheless, You, reading these psukim, you get a sense of the magnitude of what it means to have tumat nida in the house, to have this tumah in the house. Okay, b'chol anogea, b'chol kli asher teshev alav, yichabetz begal, any seat she sits on, any bed she sleeps on, you become tameh. You have to go to the mikvah and you have to wait till the night. Anyone who touches it, moreover, you have to be metahir those things too. You take those to the mikvah, you dump them in the water, and then you let them dry out and they become tameh. Okay, one second. And chavdalid v'im shachov yishkav ish ota utihin. What? No, this is not a woman had a baby.
What?
This is not a woman had a baby.
They say she has a baby.
Yeah.
So, do the children also become?
What do you mean the children?
Because it's all contamination.
Baby who came
touches
out of
a baby and then the husband touches the baby.
The husband touches a baby. Why?
To feed the baby, to change.
I don't understand. These all rages, just you're like frowning, but it all raises serious, challenging questions. Serious, challenging questions about what? I acknowledge your challenge and don't deny. Like I said, I'm not running away from. But like, we all want the Beit HaMikdash. But comes back to Beit HaMikdash, all of these things that you're dealing with become serious challenges. You know what I'm saying?
You think
you have two sets of dishes? Add another set of dishes for Tuma and Tara, both for the man and for the woman.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Well, no, forget it. You know why we don't have to add it? Because you know what it's going to be? Chad Pa'ami. That's why God created Chad Pa'ami. Just throw it away.
What about Pesach? Oh, she's going to eat on Pesach?
She doesn't eat. She's not eating anything.
Okay, she'll have cooking.
She's going to stand on my breakfast.
She can't cook or
eat. I will say... I recently heard a lecture by a man who teaches actually in a road. His name is Rav Sharon Shalom. He's actually a well-known Israeli Rav. He's an Olay Ethiopia. Right, and he actually just produced a Shulchan Aruch of the Halachot of the Ethiopians.
Oh.
Very interesting man. Fascinating man. So he was sharing some of the pictures, like of the Jewish community from the Ethiopian community, and the women had what was called, they would call it like a nida kind of tent that was outside of the main community.
Wow!
And they did this for thousands of years, up until of course till they left, okay, till they came to Israel, and then they told them, stop that, okay? But, you know, but one second. But he said it was not. What's that? I don't know. That I can't comment on. I'm not aware. In South Africa?
I don't think so, no.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, so these Ethiopians, I'm going to get into that. So, but he said something very interesting. He said that the women kind of, it became like, it was like a women's house. You know what I'm saying? And it became a time. Remember, these women, think about it this way. It's not that it's like so fun to stay, like, women work hard in the home. They work really hard in the home, and they're responsible for so many things in the home. And now you tell this woman, like, you have to leave the house for a week. What?
Spa. Where do I sign up?
That's exactly, to some degree, that's how they sort of treated it. And who takes care of the house? Not the man. All the, like, the community becomes a sort of mutual responsibility. You know what I'm saying? And they bring her food. Because remember, they have to bring her food. They have to provide for her.
What, they can't? The women can't cook for themselves?
Yeah, they do.
The bobas.
Yeah. What? What?
It's not very discreet.
Like,
no.
I'm saying,
yeah,
like,
everyone knows
like
that
there's a whole concept of that's built around this, you know. And
around family relations, yes.
Yeah,
so where did it come from all this time?
Yeah, but when you get to it, you go to your spa tent.
We didn't even get to the Chumash yet. Holy mackerel. I mean, you could. I just find it hard to imagine everyone had, like, this woman has to live her life. You know what I'm saying? So. You're right. I think the women knew. I think discretion, by the way, is not necessarily about hiding. It's more about discretion. It's more about awareness. Meaning, it's not that you're supposed to hide yourself from the community. It's nobody's business. You understand what I mean? Like, sometimes discretion.
They have the doors of the tents faced.
Correct. But that doesn't mean that you don't do what you need to do. It means that the other person is not supposed to.
They mind their own business.
Correct.
They try to have a life.
Correct, correct. The life of Tzniut, we think, we sometimes we blame the person, or we impose it upon the person who is the object, whereas Tzniut is very much imposed in halacha, really, upon the subject as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not supposed to ask such questions. You know, like we say when a chatan and kala, the Gemara says, everybody knows what a chatan and kala are going to do the wedding night, but it's nobody's business. It's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not the object of joy, and it's not to be mentioned, and not to be talked about, and not to be alluded to. That's not the source of the simcha. So the simcha is the building of a bayit. And it's similar here. Like, you know what I'm saying? I think that that's true tzniut. When people live their lives, they don't have to hide from it, but life goes on as well. Anyway, pasuk of Dalet. V'im shachov yishkav ish ota, utihi lidata ala v'tamei shivat yamin. Okay? If a husband, if the man sleeps with her, then he's also tamei shivat yamin. V'chol mishkav asher yishkav alav yitma. And every mishkav, everything he sits on becomes tameh. Also, there's another rule about someone who sleeps with a woman who is a binidata. What's the halacha of that? What's the punishment for someone who's bo'el nida? Karet. Karet. It's isur karet. Which is why we're so
machmir. So the zavah he's allowed to be with?
What? No. Okay? One second. So that's...
It says,
what's interesting is... It says he becomes tamei. This is not dealing with the punishment. The punishment is in another
version. So it's asur, but they...
Totally asur.
Yeah.
Well, he does. It's asur. It's asur. It's in Onish Karet.
Yeah, I know it's asur, but it says...
Ah, correct, when, correct.
It doesn't seem to indicate that it's wrong. It's just says, oh, he becomes tamei too.
That's not the subject. The subject is Tuma and Tara.
So
right, if you want to look at Achrei Moed HaKadoshim, and you'll see, it's Motumat, it's Mechaleha, it's Karet. Don't do that. It's
Mechaleha.
What?
How does he become pure again?
Again, 7 days, and then he has to wait 7 days, and then he goes to the mikvah. If he's the same rule as her, becomes him too. If she's tamei, yeah, sure. She's that's what it says.
But she has to bring
Shivat yamim tihiya benidata.
She has to bring korban too.
No, not here. There's not. This is not a yoledet. No korban here. This is regular.
This is regular.
So if you look, it's not clear.
But what about if he's with her during the other time?
Oh, depends if it's Demei Tahara, or, well, actually, it's always Demei Tuma until she goes to the mikvah.
Right.
A woman, if she has a flow until she goes to the mikvah, she's considered Tumea. Just let me just point out one second, because the psukim are not 100% clear exactly what's going on here. So if you look at those of you who have the
funeral,
of course not. If you look,
they do,
you know, next year in school.
You think so in depth, in detail, that they know this?
Yeah.
No way.
Not in detail. No.
They just, you know what they do? They read it and they say blah blah blah, the 7 days, whatever. You know what I'm saying? No. They don't
discuss it.
Which is why nobody knows this. Okay.
Discuss about a man's.
If you look at. No, they don't. Kufpe Aleph.
His son knew about it, and he learned about it.
Are you sure he learned knew about it from class, or he knew about it from his friends?
School.
That's another issue entirely. If you have a chinuch, you don't have it. If you don't have it, those of you who have the chinuch, in the sefer chinuch, mitzvah kufpe Aleph. Okay, he says the following. He says mitzvah kufpe Aleph. If you have it, you have it. You two have it. Okay, mitzvah kufpe Aleph chinuch. It's page. Those of you who have the Torah Chaim, you don't have it. You have the Torah Chaim, he includes the Sefer HaChinuch in the back. You all know what the Sefer HaChinuch is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Sefer HaChinuch is a list of the 613 mitzvot in the order of that they appear in the Torah. Very beautiful book, very important book. Actually, for those of you who are interested, it's not for you actually. Once we finish my Derech Hashem Shi'ur, which is not garnered as much interest as we had hoped, because it's very esoteric, we're switching to Sefer HaChinuch. So for the that's for the man on Sunday night. Send him on back. Okay, say Rachina. One thing at a time. Okay. Kuf Pei Aleph, if you see it. Mitzvah Inyan Tumat Nida Shetama Umetama. There's a mitzvah Dioraita of Tumat Nida. Okay, he says the following. Lihiyot Nida Tmea Umetama La'achirim. This is a mitzvah Dioraita. That a woman who's a Nida is Tmea Shneemar Mechol Hanogea Ba Yitma Ad Ha'arev. Okay, a woman who's a Nida is Tmea 7 days. Hold your place here. If you're holding, go back to the Chumash. Okay? That's a woman who flows 7 days.
7 days after the
meeting. I'm going to explain to you, because it's really important to know. These are the details, the basis of which, these psukim are the basis of which, of all of Hilchot Nida, and most people don't know them, because it's confusing. Next. Pasuk Kafhei. V'isha yazuv zov dama yamim rabim below eid nidata. If a woman continues to have a flow of blood for many days, that is not the time of her nida, o kitazuv al nidata, or she has an additional flow above in her nidata, kol yemei zov tum'ata, kimei nidata tihiyat tme'ahi. The days of her flow, she shall continue to be tme'ah as if she was a nida. I'm going to skip a little bit, because it says anything she sits on, anything she touches, etc. Look to Pasuk Chafchet, and this will be familiar to you. You just didn't know it was familiar to you. Ve'im tahara mizova, and when she becomes purified from her flow, v'safra la shivat yamim ve'achar titar, then she must count 7 days, and then she will be purified. U'bayom hashmini, and then in this flow, tikach la shtei terim o shnei b'nei onah, and then she has to bring a korban of either 2 pigeons, 2 doves, etc., etc. This flow is different than the other flow in a number of ways. This flow apparently is an addition to her normal nidut. Okay? Moreover, what detail is an addition to that seems that you didn't see? What detail do you see that you didn't see? What's that? An additional 7 days that you did not see vis-a-vis the first psukim. Okay, so we have the first, what we would call flow, what we call dam nida. That's what we call it. Okay, which is called dam nida. How long is she tmea? 7 days. And then we have this additional flow. How long is she tmea?
As long as she's bleeding.
As long as she's bleeding?
Plus
7 days. Plus 7?
Clean days.
And that's called dam ziva. Okay, now we look back at the chinuch. The next mitzvah in the chinuch, kuf pei bet. Okay, and I'm going to read you. He just says it so clearly. And then he also tells you why we do what we do today. Okay, I'm going to skip to the second paragraph, which is in the top of this page. Midine ha-mitzvah. The rules of this ma are. Ma sha'amruzal, what the Chachamim said, she'achar asar yom heim, she'heim bein nida le'nida. Okay, there are 11 days between nida to nida. Kolomar, meaning, Shaisha naaseit behem zava. That during these 11 days, a woman becomes what's called a zava. Kachi halacha l'moshe mi-sinai. Okay? When we say halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, that means it's not a rabbinic interpretation, it's not up for debate, it is what it is. We accept it as part of the Mesorah. Okay. U'perush hadavar kachu. And he just says that it's such an important piece of chinuch because he explains it so clearly. He just tells it, he lays it all out for you. Kol isha be'echitir adam betchilat ri'ya tikra nida. When a woman sees blood, if a woman shall bleed, menstrual bleeding, she's called a nida. V'inyan di nidut kach dino, and the rule is like this. She'im tir'eh yom echad dam, whether she sees one day, oh, afilu shivat yamim mitzufim, or even 7 days straight, kol zman shetisok hadam bayom hashvi'i mi ba'od yom, tovelad le'erev. Okay? As soon as she, during the first 7 days, as soon as she stops seeing menstrual flow, after those 7 days, what can she do? Go to the mikvah. Tehainu halayla shemacharato yom shmini letchilat ri'iyata. Ve'achar tvilata tohora leba'ala. Everybody understand? Okay? 7 days. It doesn't matter if she bled for 1 day, she'll bleed for 5 days, she'll bleed for 7 days. As soon as she gets what we would call a clean bedika, she can go to the mikvah the night of the 8th day. Immediately, right away.
That night.
She go to the mikvah. It's called the first night. She's fine after 7 days, which means Allah Amida Mida Oraita, 7 days, and then you're done. Okay, we don't do that today, at all. Why? You'll see in a second.
Blessed rabbis added 5 days first.
No. The rabbis did not add 5 days. The rabbis did not add 5 days.
And now we have 5 and 7.
It wasn't 7. It was 7.
It was however many days you bled plus 7.
No, it was 7.
It was 1 day or 7 days.
It was just 7. That's all it was.
That's what we say.
Minimum.
Correct. Right?
Yeah.
What happened? Okay. V'achar shivat yimei hanidut. After those 7 days, im tir'ed dam b'toch achar asar yom achar shiva, if she sees blood after those 7 days, yikra oto dam dam ziva. That's called dam ziva. Everybody understand? So the first flow is dam nida. The second flow is dam ziva. V'dino, okay, and this is the rule. She'im tir'eh mimenu yom echad, ben shetira b'tchilat ha'layla o b'sof ha'yom, v'shameret yom echad kinegdo v'tovelet. It's more complicated than you think. Because she's what's called a zavak tana. If she sees 1 day, then she goes to the mikvah the next day. She waits 1 day, shameret yom kinegdo yom, she goes to the mikvah the next day. If she sees 2 days, same thing. But if she sees 3 days, she's what's called a Zava Gedola, and then she has to wait 7 clean days.
17.
Seven clean days. 17. Okay. V'im, I'm skipping a couple of lines. I'm sorry if I'm... V'im tired dam betoch acharas yom elu shlosha yamim mitzufim. She waits, if she has 3 straight days, tikra Zava Gedola. Then she's called a Zavag Dola. B'tzvicha le'shev shiva yamim nikiyim. V'achar kach tovelet u'tehora le'ba'ala. And then she goes to the mikvah and she's tehora. V'achar asar yom elu, im tir'eh chozer l'tchilat nidut. Okay, that's what she said. Okay, so this is the mainstream view. I'll set it out for you. Okay, a woman gets her menstrual period. Okay, from the time, midaraita, from the time she begins to see blood, okay, she can count 7 days, and if she's no longer bleeding, midaraita.
7 clean days.
Okay, not seven clean days. No, seven clean days. 7 days from the beginning. She goes to the mikvah, all 7 good. This you didn't know?
No, it's just interesting.
Yeah, that okay.
They can't combine the two.
Yes, they did. One second, before we get to that, let me clear it. Then, after those 7 days are over, in the 11 following days, halacha l'moshe mi-sinai, if she bleeds 1 day, she's a zavak tana. She bleeds 2 days, she's a zavak tana. She bleeds 3 days, then she's a zavak gedola.
Another 7 days.
Then she has to count, then she has to get 7 clean days, the shiva nikiyim, okay? And then she goes to the mikvah and she's okay.
The 3 have to be consecutive?
Yes, they have to be consecutive.
Because otherwise, if it was 1, she would go.
She would go to the mikvah, right. She would wait 1 day and then go.
Three consecutive days.
That's zavak. So we have nida, dam nida, zavak tana, and zavak dola. Okay? If she goes through those 11 days clean, then the next time she sees bleeding, it's dam nida again. So the whole process starts over. Everybody clear?
So one of
Hold on. Came along the Rambam, and he does not agree. The Rambam says, I don't agree. The Rambam says, the big confusion is, the big machlok is the following. What after, so remember we had 7 and 11, 18 days. So according to most Rishonim, right? 7 give you a new meaning every time you see it, okay? According to most Rishonim, right, after the 11 days, it doesn't matter how long until she gets her period the next time, then she starts again. She starts the Nidah again. Rambam says no. From the very first time a girl is 12 years old, when she first sees her period, she starts counting. 7 days is Dam Nidah. 11 days, Dam Ziva. 7 days, Dam Nidah. 11 days, Dam Ziva. For the rest of her life. 7, 11, 7, 11, 7, 11.
But that doesn't make any sense. Because it's an 18-day cycle.
That's correct. Correct. He says that's the din of the Torah. 7 days, according to the Rambam. He says explicitly.
But she's not going
to
get her period every 3 weeks.
Sometimes she'll be a Nida, sometimes she'll be a Zaba. What? Sometimes it's Dam Nida. That's not his position. His position is, it depends on
but that's not the reality,
when,
though.
Well, no, one second.
She's going to be a Nida when
he knows that. Life. He knows what the reality is. You understand what I'm saying? But he says the din of the Torah was, sometimes it will be Dam Nida, and sometimes it will be Dam Ziva.
It's not the same in the same cycle.
Correct. It doesn't have to be the same cycle. Her cycle might not be on this 7 and 11 day, this 18 day cycle.
But she can have 7 days of Dam Nida and not have any blood and still be considered Nida?
What do you mean? No.
If she didn't see the second 7, she wouldn't have any blood.
Correct. So what? So fine.
So she's still a Nida?
What do you mean?
She has this period of Nida?
No. It's 7 if she sees. 11 if she sees. 7 if she sees. 11 if she sees. 7, 11.
Because the whole definition of Ziva is that it comes after Nida, no?
That's not how the Rambam saw it. That's not how he understood the halacha.
It's like pointless
because
nobody knows that.
No, we all hold it. Why? Because it's a huge machloket. So what do we do? We say, we treat all Dam as if it's not Dam Nida, but Dam Ziva. Correct. So the reason why now we have to wait 7 clean days is because Dam Ziva. There is no concept of Shiva Nikiyim for Dam Nida. You saw it in the Torah.
Is this where the leniency...
Hold on. Let me just finish. The point is very important to clarify. Okay?
Why?
There is no concept of... If you look, you saw in the Torah, 7 days of Nida, the 8th day should go to the mikvah. We never do that now. Never.
Why?
We say... How she counts, the minimum 5 days is for a bleeding, But immediately after she gets she becomes clean, then she counts 7 clean days. There is no concept of Shiva Nikiyim for Nida. It's only for Zava.
But even for Zava, they didn't have
Zavos.
They didn't have a minimum of five bleeding days.
It's because it's already after the 7 days. So you're saying why the minimum 5? That's the Durabanan. That's Benot Yisrael, that's Kamira, that's Mom. But the additional 7 Shiva Nikiyim is because of this Dam Ziva.
So it should be 3 and 7.
It should, what do you mean, should be? Midya Oraita, it's not should be. It is what it is. This is a halacha, we're not changing it. Midya Oraita, it should be 7.
So we have an extra 3 days.
According to the Chinuch, it should be 7. Why?
No,
because you hit more than extra 3.
You just said 7
from the very beginning. On the 8th day, a woman goes to the mikvah and she's Tahara Labala. But because of this confusion, because of this Dam Nida, and immersing, connecting to Dam Ziva, we treat every Dam Nida like Ziva. That's how it is.
Why?
Because we don't know, is a Dam Nida, according to the Rambam, have you counted since you were 12? Can you go back and figure it out?
You know what I'm saying? What's the difference between the two?
One minute.
I don't get it.
What's the difference,
between the two is one needs Shiva Nikiyim and one doesn't.
Correct.
So if we didn't do Shiva Nikiyim and we said, oh, we know it's Nida,
correct,
but it really could be Zava, we could be bad courage for not holding the 7 days.
Got it. Well said. Perfectly said.
And since I don't want to risk that, I'm going to continue.
Perfectly
to
said.
It.
Correct.
I don't understand the Rambam's point of view. Am I alone here?
No.
Can I ask?
No.
This is not the... Neither did the Chinuch. Most Rishonim completely disagreed with him. You don't understand. He says, a second, the Rambam says, he quotes the Rambam, okay? And he says it the following way. He says it the way, "Mipnei shekvar ta'u bazeh acherim." Others have erred, made a mistake. "B'chashvu chashbon hu." They thought that the cheshbon, the count, is shetim la'shiva yamim shel nidut, v'achar asar shel zivut, v'shevel shel nidut, v'achar shel zivut, v'chein la'olam. Exactly what I said to you. This is the Rambam's position. He says, if you look at the Torah, it says, okay, that's how we understood the halacha. 7 days, Shivat Yamim, and then if she shall have an additional flow, and we know it's 11 days, and the Rambam says, then it starts right away immediately. The count is the count.
11 plus 7.
7 Nida, then 11, then 7. Whatever, if she leaves going back.
Holiday is gray. 7 days would be like gray, and then 11 days would be pink, and then.
However you want to do it, right? Okay, like that.
If you fall in, if you start your period in the gray part, it's Nida. If you start your period in the green part, it's Ziva.
Correct. That's exactly what
Grandma
said.
Then you would have to go 7 clean days.
7 more days.
If it was in the green, if it was in the gray, you
correct.
Would have to do the.
Extra. Well said. Correct.
And the calendar would.
Just keep going. For the rest of her life.
Started.
No, when she starts. From when she starts.
From when she starts. So that's,
count 7, 11. 7, 11.
Then they wouldn't have to do what we do?
No, because that's the Rambam's position. Most people don't follow, don't agree. Most Rishonim dispute. He says, I think the Rambam is totally wrong. What do we do, obviously? We do. What do? Both. We do both. We treat every Dam as Dam Ziva.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah,
the leniencies for people that are having fertility issues and, you know, they're...
So those leniencies are in the Derabanan of, meaning, in the Halacha, we assume that as soon as a woman sees blood, she has to then count 5 days.
Right.
Assuming, no matter how long she bleeds. Okay, now remember we said, Midor, right, she counts from the beginning, if she bleeds 1 day, 7 days, and she's gone. But Midor Rabbanan, 1 day is not enough. We assume she has to count 5 days, and then she begins counting the 7 days. Okay, so the leniencies can come in those 5 days, because those are rabbinic stringencies.
Sephardim hold less days.
I'm not aware of the Sephardi custom. Okay, and the reason I wanted to go into this is because it's in the Parsha. I don't know if you thought you were getting a Parsha share like this, but it's like, you know what I'm saying. But these are basic facts, right? You see it in the Torah. Shivat Yamim, 7 days of Nida Miraraita, and then after that. The Shiva Nakim only appear in Dam Ziva. It doesn't appear in Dam Nida. Okay? And then after that, and this is all bookended in the very beginning by the Dam Yoledet, which is what's called Dam Tumeah, and then Dam Tahara. Okay, the blood of Tahara. Do we have, what time is it? I got 5 minutes. Yes.
Can you address the question of the boy and the girl?
Ah, yes, I can. So let's go back to the very beginning of Tazviyah. Okay. What's that?
I
don't give apologetics. I don't do apologetics.
No, the way I always learned it, but I guess I was a little apologetic, is that it's more of a loss. You know, with they always say, like, the reason why you go to the mitzvah is it's a loss every time it's done, that it wasn't a big. So they're saying that the kedusha is even. It's like a more of a kedusha when the girl is born, so that's why I know this thing was very
popular.
And you bought it?
Lost.
She has okay. Lost. What?
I heard trying to explain that Shikisha Sani Kirtzano and Shalos and Yisha.
You want the Kliyaka or you want the Chinuch?
Kliyaka.
All right, Kliyaka it is. Whichever one, make you feel better?
No.
Okay.
Laura has four boys, so she needs...
They are connected. Okay, let's go to the Kliyaka.
Not daughter-in-law.
I'm going to beat the finger.
Oh, wow.
He asks some of our questions a little bit different. He says the following. I'm in the Kliyaka. If you have a Chumash, you don't have it. You don't have a Kliyaka? No, you have it. So I'll read it. Mikom akom, kedei liyashev kol akushiyot b'derech echad. I got to answer all these questions in one way. Omer ani, shekol zeh nimshach b'derech teva min hachet hakadum. It all emerges from original sin. Okay, you have to remember, and sometimes we allow ourselves to forget this. These halachot, like original birth, he says, what was the original birth? What was birth intended to be?
Without
what does that mean? What is the implication of that? Be'etziv til dibanim. It was supposed to be
easy.
Why? What meaning? This was part of the Derech Hashem. Giving birth wasn't supposed to be
labor.
You're thinking about it only from an emotional, physical point of view.
It wasn't supposed to
But remember what a human being was supposed to be. And this actually, we learned in Derech Hashem, the Ramchal writes, a human being was supposed to be the perfect meld of the spiritual and the physical, in that the spirit and the body complemented each other in such a way that they would continue to be mutually beneficial to the other and mutually purifying to each other. Mm-hmm. That the body wasn't, in a sense, meant to drag a human being down. Mm-hmm. It was meant to help the soul realize its potential. And after the sin of the, whatever the sin was, something fundamentally changed in that the body and the soul are now fighting with each other. They don't work in tandem. They're battling each other. That's what we do. We fight. Should I eat it? Should I not eat it? Should I do this? Should I do this? That's not the goal. The goal was to be in Gan Eden.
And
the body, what?
The chain was
the sin, the chet, whatever it was. So if that's true, birth itself fundamental. It's not that you say, oh, Achava, you sinned, so therefore you're in trouble. You're going to punish, blah, blah, blah. It's not just that. Of course, but it's not just that. Moreover, the whole nature of the human body, the whole nature of birth is going to be different. Because instead of, like, you know, Lahavdil, I'm not comparing this at all. When a chicken lays an egg, it's not painful. It's creating something that's in the world. You know what I'm saying? It was part. When a person was supposed to create a human being, it was supposed to create this, be a part of this procreation, to create yet another part of nature that was just naturally part of the human condition. But now we're creating something where it's in contradistinction to the way things are supposed to be. So that's not only painful, it's also physically messy. In a sense, it's physically messy, it's spiritually messy, and it has all kinds of ramifications. Mm-hmm. Okay? See, and by the way, that it totally changes our understanding of Tuma and Tahara, Dam Nida also. It's all connected to this idea. It's connected to the idea that the physical world, birth, creation, the human creation, is fundamentally different than what it was supposed to be according to the original plan in Gan Eden. Now, obviously, this creates many, many more questions than we have time to answer in the next minute. Okay, 1 minute. No, I can't. But it gets you started. I mean, it gets you on a different track than the, women, Nida, blah, 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 dirty. It's not that. It's so much more fundamental, so much different than that. Okay, 1 second. Ki hachet hakadum shel chava hu makor niftach ladmeim tmeim elu. It is the source, the well that opened to this kinds of blood. L'chatat, l'anida. Remember, he says, Zot l'tahara mimkor damea. Such a powerful word. The fountain, the makor, the source of her blood. It's not her. It's Chava, but it's not Chava. It's Adam and Chava. These are results of a sin. These are results of an action. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yisrael bar Avdimi, harba erbe atzvonech, I will cause your pain in birth. Elu shnei tipei damim, dam nida v'dam tulim. Right, dam nida is a result of this. 1 second. Lekach ne'emar, v'tahara mimkor dameha. This is what it should say. Ki kol nashim tzrichim tahara al chet rishon. They need this tahara for the original sin. Asher mimena nitpashta tuma v'azuama ba'olam. That caused all the tuma and the impurity in the world. V'garam l'chol hanuldim tumat shiva. And that's the source of Tumat Shiva, of Tumat when a woman gives birth. And it's also the source of Tumat Nida, it's also the source of Tumat Shiva, much of which we don't understand.
And that's why you have to wait more days for a girl.
I'm not going to, no, he says differently. I don't have time. I really have to stop because I have to run to work. I apologize. Why more for a girl than a boy? He says basically they believed, there's a couple of different reasons, but if you look at the Rishonim, if you look at the Chinuch, the Ramban says the same thing. They believed that the nature of men and women were fundamentally different. The nature of woman is red, and the nature of man is white. White is what he calls karirut, a certain coldness. I would call it dispassionateness. And red, obviously,
flaming,
passion, emotional. Correct. The source of a woman is the red from her egg, from her womb. And the source of a man is obviously the white from the seminal emission. And when they come together, so a cut for a boy, when a boy is created, his essential nature is less inflamed than a girl. So therefore, the boy, the purification process, is different from that of a boy than that of a girl. It's not, I'm not sure to what a degree this is, I told you it wouldn't make you happy, to what degree this is metaphysics, to what degree this is machshava, I'm not really sure. What I can tell you is, we do agree, boys and girls are different. How? In what nature? Spiritually, physically? I don't know.
Why did you give that to a boy and a girl?
Then you have to treat like a girl.
Yeah.
All right, we'll stop here.
Two boys and a girl.